Okay, today is Wednesday, November 7th. This is the women's Mishnah or Gemara share. We're doing topics thus far in Masechah Sukkah. We've been on the topic of Mitzvah HaBa Baveira since the beginning of the Zman. Okay, Rabotai. Lama learning the Torah Gdoisha.
Here you go. Okay,
Rabotai, we've been, since the beginning of this term, we've been focusing on the mitzvah, on the topic of Mitzvah HaBa Baveira, a variety of aspects. I could go on for several weeks, but I think tonight will be the last one, and we'll move to a different topic. Tonight, the focus is on whether or not one can make a bracha when you have a mitzvah haba baveira. And even more further than that, even if the halacha would say at times that you can be mekayim the mitzvah under these circumstances because it doesn't actually qualify as a mitzvah haba baveira, we've seen at least a half a dozen opinions under what circumstances it is and under what circumstances it is not a mitzvah haba baveira. Sometimes, even if it does not meet the litmus test of according to this Rishon, that Gemara, there is a serious debate, which we're going to see tonight, whether or not you should make a bracha even if you are mekayim the mitzvah. Because it does not, why would you be mekayim the mitzvah? Because it doesn't reach the standard of mitzvah haba baveira. Many rishonim will say, and a gemara will start that off, that a bracha is inappropriate. Psychologically, we can understand that. Yes, begrudgingly, we're going to give you credit for the mitzvah. But to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav, Vitzivanu, you commanded us, this is not the word, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Dos Habich Nish Gemeint. This is not what I had in mind to say. You should fulfill the mitzvah in this particular fashion, transgressing, even though it may not necessarily meet the bar of mitzvah haba baveira. So we are going to see the Gemara that talks about it and lots of other commentaries. So the source, the primary source, is found in Masechet Bava Kamma, Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph. It's also found in Sanhedrin 6b. So the Gemara says as follows. Disanya, we learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said, Hare shegozal so'o shel chitin. Somebody stole a measure of wheat. Tochana, He grounded it. Losha, he kneaded it. Afa, he baked it into bread. Vehifrish mimena chala. And after he ordered that, he had his dough. And what did he do? He was mafrish chala, like all good women do when they make bread. They're mafrish chala. Ketzad mivarech. How does he make the bracha on the mitzvah of hafrashat chala? So you'll answer him. Asher kedeshana b'mitzvotav tzivanu lahafrish chala min ha'isa. That's one of the versions of the mitzvah of the bracha for chala. Others say you're supposed to say al hatruma. There are a variety of suggestions, but the one which is most popular is lahafrish chala min ha'isa, because it emphasizes that the original chiyuv of chala is not to wait until you bake it and take off a piece of bread, but to separate it when it's still a dough. That's what it says. Lahafrish chala min ha'isa. If you forget to, then certainly after you bake the challah, it comes out, you should take off a piece of bread, or challah, whatever it is, and burn it. Make the bracha and burn it. Says Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Ein ze mivarech. This is not what you should be blessing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ela minna eitz. It's considered cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu for making a bracha under those circumstances. Ve'al ze ne'emar, and upon this it has been said, botseya. Somebody who botseya means somebody who breaks off a piece of the dough or the bread. And beirech, and he made a bracha on separating the challah. Ni'et es Hashem. He has cursed God. So what does Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov tell us? What was the first word in his... Okay, what happened in this case? He stole something. So if he stole something, and now he wants to fulfill a mitzvah. So this technically should touch upon the issue of mitzvah haba b'aveira. So tell me, if it really was a mitzvah haba b'aveira, do I need Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov to tell me that you shouldn't make a bracha? Tell me yes or no and why. If it is technically a mitzvah haba b'aveira, tell me why I would not need or I should need Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov to tell me that I shouldn't make a bracha. Yeah.
You're not fulfilling the mitzvah the moment you're there.
If you believe that something reaches the standard of mitzvah haba b'aveira, then the halacha is you do not fulfill the mitzvah when you do it through an aveira. So let's take the very first case that we came across. I stole a lulav on the second day of Sukkot. So now I want to take the lulav and fulfill the mitzvah. So the Gemara says that somebody who fulfills a mitzvah having transgressed an aveira, and it's called mitzvah b'aveira, he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. So if he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, obviously, what should he not say? He should not say a bracha. Because it's a bracha levatala. It's like I would make the bracha right now, shekedushanu mitzvah tzivanu al netilas lulav. It would be a bracha levatala. So Rabbi Eliezer is probably hinting to us, and I'm going to explain why in a second, that even though, based on the classic laws of mitzvah haba b'aveira, the classic laws of mitzvah haba b'aveira, this particular scenario is not going to be identified as a mitzvah haba b'aveira. Hence, when this person separated the challah, were they fulfilling a mitzvah or were they not fulfilling a mitzvah? Yes, they were. And nonetheless, says Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, don't make a bracha. This bracha is insulting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore it's the equivalent of ni'eitz. Ni'eitz is blasphemy. That's what it means. Technically it means it's blasphemous. It's not a bracha, but it's rather blasphemous toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What word are you looking up there? Okay, no problem. It's blasphemous to recite a bracha under those circumstances. So now let me show you why I prefer the second approach, that it's not really a mitzvah haba b'aveira as yet. See, tell me the difference between the case if I steal a lulav and the case described here. Can you identify a difference in the case itself? Yes.
The entire object has changed.
Correct. It's not the same object any longer. So there happens to be a principle and a machloikis between the Ri and the Rabbeinu Tam, which we touched upon. Nothing's a technicality. Is what a technicality?
I know that it's not the same form, but it really, I mean, yeah,
no, like, but that's just it. We want to create a case where it does not, it's not technically mitzvah haba b'aveira. So if it's not mitzvah haba b'aveira and you did it, would you fulfill the mitzvah? Yes, you would. Says Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, don't make a bracha though. You can fulfill the mitzvah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to hear from you, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu l'hafrish chalam in Isa. That's cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not interested. So that's a big chiddush. That even though you are fulfilling the mitzvah, you don't make the bircha, the bracha, associated with that mitzvah. So let's touch upon a machloikis that we spoke about, I don't remember which week it was, a machloikis between the Ri and the Rabbeinu Tam.
Can you just clarify one thing? Is it two separate mitzvahs, doing it and saying the bracha when you say what?
Yes, yes, yes. Because in every single case that you do a mitzvah and you forget to make the bracha, just forgot, you are mekayim the mitzvah.
You light Shabbos candles and don't say the bracha.
You fulfill the mitzvah completely. The bracha of a mitzvah is never me'akev, does never preclude the fulfillment of a mitzvah. The mitzvah is done. It's interesting, why in the world do we make a birchas ha-mitzvah? See, when I make shahakol ni'eh bidvaro on an ice cream sundae, I can understand it. Because I am deriving benefit, pleasure from this world, and as a result, I have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why should I be thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for telling me to do something? He's telling me to do this mitzvah. He's telling me 248 positive commandments.
Just to get your minds on it.
Okay, that's probably the most plausible reason. Since there is a machloikis, whether or not mitzvot tzrichot kavana, that when you do a mitzvah, do you have to be mentally aware of the fact that I'm doing so for the purpose of discharging a mitzvah? So, since we, you know, it depends how we paskin, whatever it is, but since there is such an opinion, and the majority of authorities accept that, Chazal, the Rabbanan, always midrabbanan, said that we should introduce every mitzvah with a bracha to make sure that my mind is on it, not that I'm doing it haphazardly while I'm watching the Giant game on Sunday afternoon. Yes?
What about the mitzvot? When you're saying berachat hamazon,
that's not a berachat hamitzvah.
It's not? What is that?
The mitzvah is to say the bracha. But we don't say before we bench, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu livarech berchat hamazon. There are a handful of mitzvot which we do not recite a berchas hamitzvah. And one of them is, if the bracha, if the mitzvah itself is formatted as a bracha, the mitzvah itself is to recite a bracha, then there is no accompanying berchat hamitzvah. The question is, why not? Why shouldn't there be? If the purpose is to get your mind focused, so I don't want to say Birchat HaMazon, like I said, while I'm preoccupied doing something else. Why shouldn't I say, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu livarech Birchat HaMazon? Or Friday night, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu likadesh et Yom HaShabbat. And then say the Kiddush. We don't do that. Whenever a mitzvah is formatted as a bracha, we don't say every morning, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu likro et Shema. We don't say that. Because it's within the mizgeret of Birchot Shema. It's recited in the format of a bracha in the middle of Shachris, or in the middle of Maariv. But here, you just, you know, this is the bracha of Challah. And So now let me explain why Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov believes this particular case is not, would not be a violation of mitzvah Baba Avera. So you will fulfill the mitzvah of Hafrashas Chala. By Lulav, we have the following parallel as well. Not a shinui, a change in action, but a shinui rishus. What happens? I steal the lulav. Okay? Now I give it to you. What happens when I give that lulav to you and you had yeyu, you gave up hope of ever recovering it? It becomes that person's. Yeyu shalom is not enough, according to many. I don't want to get that machlokes. But yeyush plus something else always works. Always works. So if I steal this tape recorder from you and I give it to someone else, that person, if you were miyaesh, has acquired it according to every single person. Because yeush plus shinui reshut, a change of ownership, the two of them guarantee that the item no longer belongs to its rightful owner. And what does the thief have to pay? Cash. He doesn't have to give back the item any longer because it doesn't belong to him. It now belongs to the person who is in possession of it. Or shinui ma'aseh. When you make a change to the item, as you said, the what did I steal? Wheat. I don't have wheat in front of me anymore. I have a beautiful geflochtene challah, braided. A geflochtene challah. That's what I have. That's what I have. That's not what I stole. So, yeush plus shinui ma'aseh is automatically acquired by the ganav. If he makes the change, he legally owns this now. What? You always need yeyush. Because without yeyush, the person who owned it says, I expect to get this back. They're not giving up hope. See, if they're not giving up hope, they still think they're going to get this tape recorder back. So the first criteria that is always measured is whether or not the owner was miyaesh or not. Remember we mentioned last time about stealing ground, land? That there is never any yeush because the landowner can't be moved. So why would the owner of the property, if I pushed him out of his property, why is he giving up? He's never going to give up. It's right in front of him. When I steal this and I move to Mexico, so the guy says, how am I going to find this? How am I going to find this? So there is yeush plus shinui rishus. That means changing owners. Yeush plus shinui ma'aseh. And then there is a third thing, yeush plus shinui hashem. If the name changes, if people called it A, and now for some reason they call it something else. It's called something else.
Change of status?
No, it's not. It could be status.
Steal a dog and you rename the dog.
That's not what really what the Gemara had in mind. When the Gemara says Shinui Hashem, it means people don't call it a dog anymore. They call it something else, which is perhaps the right name for it. But that's Shinui. So it's the Gemara said that the Gemara gives an example that when they used to cut the hadassim, they were called Asa. That was the name of it. They used an Aramaic name. Once they put them into that plastic bag, and what kind of plastic? It's plastic bags. It's like sealed, right? And there's no air getting in, nothing. Nobody calls them Asa anymore. What are they called? Hadassim. So yeush plus shinui hashem is also enables the thief to acquire it. In our case here, we're dealing with Shinui ma'aseh. Shinui ma'aseh. So, in relationship to some of the shinuyim, Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that I don't care how many shinuyim you make. Not interested. Once it's stolen, it's always mitzvah haba b'aveira. That's the Rabbeinu Tam's opinion. The Ri, we mentioned this machloikas a couple of weeks ago. The Ri says no. If legally I own it, if legally I, the thief, own it, then mitzvah haba b'aveira doesn't apply anymore. So we're going to learn tonight, like the Ri, not like the Rabbeinu Tam, that I have this grain that I stole, and it's now legally mine because I changed it into challah, I changed it into flour, and then baked it into challah, so it's certainly not the item that I stole, and therefore it's not considered a violation of mitzvah b'aveira. According to the Ri, I legally own it. However, he says, don't you dare make a bracha on this. Don't you dare. And if you do, it's considered cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. This way I just interpreted, go to page number 2, is the way Tosfot understands this Gemara. The way I just explained it is cited by Tosfos, not my own Chiddush. Says Tosafot, I bracketed the relevant lines, the very long Tosfos. V'ha da amar b'reish ha-gozel kama. That which the Gemara says in the Perek called ha-gozel kama. And in the parentheses, the printer put in on daf tzadik dalet amud aleph. That's the Gemara we just read. Harei she-gozel so'achitin. Somebody stole a measure of wheat. Tochna, he ground it. Losha, he kneaded it. Afa, he baked it. Veheirim mimena chala. And he now picked up, he lifted out the portion that is identified as chala. Ketzad nevare. How do you make a bracha on this? Answered Rabbi Eliezer. Ein zem nevareich. This is not a blessing. Ela mina eitz. V'dochi lehasam, and the Gemara said, "D'matzi savar be'alma d'shinui kone," that you could hold that what shinui kone? What does shinui kone mean? That the goslin acquires it as a result of what?
It's
changed, having been changed in form. V'hacha. So the problem was not that he didn't own it. Because can I be mafrish challah for you on your things without asking your permission? I walk into your kitchen, there is a dough, I walk over and I'm mafrish challah. Is that called challah?
No.
No. How do I know? Because the Torah says three times, not once, reishit arisote, who can finish it? Chem. Arisote chem. So what does the Gemara often do with the word lachem or the suffix chem? What does it mean? It's got to be yours. That if you want to be mafrish, it has to be yours. You can receive permission from the owner. But if he doesn't give you permission, you can't be mafrish. And even if I separate it, it's not truma. It's a you can eat it all you want. It's not truma. So the Gemara, so now Tosva says, V'hacha mishum mitzvah haba b'aveira. Af al gav dekona kodem lachein. Even though I acquired this challah before I was mafrish challah. Well, I'm going to use the better word. I acquired the bread before I was mafrish challah. Le'inyin bracha lehazkir shem shamayim alav. Ra'ui lehachmir yoter. Even though it is not mitzvah haba b'aveira, according to this Tosfos. Why is it not mitzvah haba b'aveira? Because I own it. And if I own it, the Ri is of the opinion, mitzvah haba b'aveira does not apply by theft if you legally own it. I can legally own it with Yeyush and Shini Rishus, Yeyush and Shini Maaseh, and Yeyush and Shini Hashem. Nonetheless, says Tosfos, we're machmer with a bracha. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no interest in hearing that bracha when he knows, even though you technically own it, that you stole it initially. So that's the first position that we entertain tonight. That there is a special chumrah about making a bracha on something that was stolen, even though it does not reach the pedestal of mitzvah haba b'aveira. That's Tosfos' opinion. Turn to page number 3, and we're going to see how the Shulchan Aruch rules on this particular issue.
This is your question.
Of course.
That's a little of a bracha, and if you would just remind me, though, if you, I know you could ask, I mean, most husbands' wives don't have, you share what you love usually.
Okay. So what you have to do is he has to give it to you. Not permission. Permission doesn't help. He has to give it to you as a gift.
Each day.
No, only on the first day. The only time that we require ownership, individual ownership, is on the first day of Yontif. The rest of Yontif, you can use a borrowed one.
So you don't take it after Shul that it's on the table and go, whatever, you really...
It's a physically handed
to you. Physically handed.
Yes,
okay.
Of course. The one with the shul, a shul esrog, is that the membership, the board of directors, buys, you know, officially buys the lulav, and they make a statement. We are granting permission for anybody who doesn't have a lulav and an etrog to pick it up and acquire it fully. So the first guy who picks it up from the shul, he owns it now. Next guy who wants it, he has to give it back. He has to give it to somebody else. Hand it over to somebody else. Yeah.
But the husband could do that also, right? He could buy it before Yom Tov, say, you know, honey, you know, I give you permission to pick this up and acquire.
Okay, but we don't really rely on that. It's all because there's questions whether or not that works, so we're lenient when it comes to a communal one. In your house, you have to have, you buy the lulav and esrog, you use it first, and then give it to the hubby. That's perfectly okay.
Joint ownership of things?
Not on Yontif. Not for Sukkos, not for lulav. Of course there's joint ownership. But joint ownership is not effective for the mitzvah of lulav on the first day. You have to own it to the exclusion of all others.
You're going to say the same thing with Hanukkah, right? Same thing with the lighting candles?
Of course not. No. I am not going to say that.
That's
something else. On Hanukkah, yeah, everybody can light. You're just...
What if you don't want to light?
So you don't want to light? So you don't want to be Mekayim HaMitzvah?
No,
do you want to know if you don't want to light?
No, I'm saying I usually have Shabbat, I'm dancing with him.
Okay, you shouldn't.
That's what I'm asking.
You should, not because of this reason. The reason why most women in previous generations never lit, my mother never lit, because the halacha, according to the Mishnah Berurah, is that ishto kigufo, that a wife is considered one and the same with the husband. The Rav disagreed with the Mishnah Berurah for years. And that's why many women today light on their own. Because the Rav said that the halacha of ishtu kigufo has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And that's why husbands should light and wives should light. Everybody should light. That's what the Rav always said. Even though not everybody listens. So then you're relying on...
Then you're going back and it's not... You shouldn't be... Either you're holding it or not.
Okay. Okay.
Well,
everybody should light. That would be the best thing, is for everybody to light every single night. Says the Mechaber, this is Karo, in Hilchos Lula, Kol Arba Haminim, all four of the Minim, Lulav, Etrog, Hadas, and Arava, Pisulim, Bigazul, Ubiganuv, are disqualified, whether they are stolen or they are stolen. Gazul and Ganuv. So now let me pause and just define the differences between Gzela and Geneva. They're interchanged a lot in our discussion, but the halacha has precise definitions for Gazlan versus a Ganav. Difference number one. A Gazlan is not afraid to confront his victim. So Gazlan comes over with a gun and he says, give me your wallet. That's a Gazlan. A Ganav is afraid to confront his victim. So he only steals now that you're here at the share, he'll go to your house. But if you would be there, he would never come. That's one difference between a Ganav and a Gazlan. Difference number two. A Ganav, if caught, pays kefel, pays double. A Ganav who gets caught pays double. A Gazlan does not pay kefel, does not pay double. Pays the value or the item itself or the value, but not double. And then is the most critical difference, which most people don't even know about. In order to become a Ganav, the item had to come into your possession through an act of theft. An act of theft. What does that mean? You come over to me and you take it away from me. To become a Gazlan, the item did not have to reach your possession through an act of theft. I will give you an example. This tape recorder worth $28,000. So when I go on vacation, I don't want to take it with me to Mexico. So I'm going to ask you to watch it for me. So I bring it to your house. Very nice. And you're a showman. Mm-hmm. Or a showmeret. And I come back after my vacation. I knock on your door. And you say, it was stolen. The police do an investigation. And they find it in your pocketbook. Okay? So are you a thief? Of course you're a thief. But did the item get into your possession through an act of theft? No. How did it get into your possession? I gave it to you willingly to ask you to be a showman. So the maximum you will be is a Gazlan. Only a Gazlan. Not a Ganav. And the difference is, if you're caught, how much do you have to pay? Do you pay double or only once? That's a big difference. In this case, you only pay once.
There is no punishment.
What?
There's no punishment if you only have to pay once.
That's, of course there's a punishment. In your book upstairs. That's correct. Down here on earth, you lose absolutely nothing by being... All you do is return it. The punishment is administered by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ministered by a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Isn't also one ashamed... People,
no, that's what we tell the third graders. That the reason why a Ganav pays and not Gazlan, because a Ganav is a hypocrite. He's afraid of man, but he's not afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Gazlan is not a hypocrite. He's afraid of nobody. He's not afraid of God, not afraid of man. He comes right up to you and says, let me have you out. So since he's not a hypocrite, we are a little more charitable with him. He only pays what he stole. The Ganav, who is a hypocrite, he pays double.
But isn't Gazlan supposed to be more violent?
No, that's for the fourth grade. But the differences, the clear halachic differences, are the way I just told you tonight. So now, that's why the Mechaber makes both statements. Mm-hmm. That all of the four meaning cannot be acquired by you either for Gneva or Gzela. Bein lifnei Yeyush, bein lachar Yeyush. Whether or not the rightful owner gave up hope of ever acquiring it or not. Aval gozul v'kono below siyua ha-mitzvah. If somebody stole it and acquired it, not through the practice of the mitzvah, not through doing the mitzvah, kigom. Gozal lulav vishipohu. Somebody stole a lulav, and what did he do? He trimmed a lot of the branches off. There were like branches growing all over the place. He trimmed it. Kasher, under those circumstances, he has fulfilled the mitzvah, the kanya vishinui ma'aseh, because he acquired it by making the change. He trimmed the leaves of the lulav. Umihu lo yivarech alav. Even though he's doing a mitzvah, the halacha will tell him, do not make the bracha asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzilanu al nitilat lulav. Do not make the mitzvah. So the Mechaber quotes that Tosafot that we just read. That we just read. Go to page number 4 for a minute. Here they have the following issue. Vitzorich iyun, says the Magen Avraham, shenohagu ktsat la'asot sukkah b'reshut harabim. People who didn't have yards, side alleyways, and side driveways, they lived in a closed, tight neighborhood, and they wanted to put up a sukkah. So where did they put the sukkah up? Into the street, on the sidewalk, in a public thoroughfare, Rishus HaRabim. Says the Magen Avraham, that's a problem. Tell me why it's a problem. Because you don't own it. Ve'im kein sukkah gzulahi. It's a stolen sukkah. Because you have no right to put up your personal sukkah in this piece of property. Ve'ein lomar debinei ha'ir mochalin lahem. You cannot say that what does the rest of the city do? They don't care. They're moichal. Go ahead, put up your sukkah. No. Nobody does that. Nobody faginzach that you're going to be able to put something in a Rosh Hashanah. Nobody is willing to be mochel.
Like a dead-end street or something like that?
Okay, so we're not talking about a dead-end street. Talking about Rockland Avenue. Rockland Avenue.
It's okay.
That's all. I know, yeah. You'd be the first one out there. The Haber Rosh Hashanah. Yesh lichol ha'olam chelik bahem. In a public thoroughfare, it's not only the people who live in this town who have rights to it. Everybody, every citizen in this world has a right to go walk on a public thoroughfare. Everybody. V'im timtzolomar. And if you would like to suggest, the chol Yisrael mochalin, that all Jews will of course grant you their rights, and because they know, what are you doing? You're doing it for what? For the mitzvah. And how many days? Only 8 days. Mikol makom, hare yesh le'akum chelek bohem. A Gentile has just as much right to the sidewalk as you do. And a Gentile is not going to be moichel based on the fact that you want to be mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. It's the old joke, of course, with the Jewish judge. Everybody else, you violated the law, I'll give you 8 days to take it down. Okay? You know? Okay. But he's not interested in this, Caro. Fine. So the question is, can you make a sukkah? And the Magen Avraham says, this is a real issue. A real issue. I want you to skip now to 3 lines from the bottom. There is a parenthesis which says the end parenthesis has a samuch bet. Okay? So now look at the Magen Avraham statement. Va'af de b'dieved k'sheira. Even if you wanted to say that a sukkah made on a public thoroughfare is bidieved, if done already, is kosher. Even if you wanted to say that, mikol makom nir oli, it appears to me, the ein levarecha leha. I don't want you making leishay basuka every time you walk in. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not terribly happy that you're stealing public property in order to make your sukkah. Even if you wanted to claim it's not mitzvah haba b'aveira. Even, not that it probably is mitzvah haba avera, but he says, even if it was not mitzvah haba avera, so technically I would fulfill the mitzvah, nonetheless, I don't want to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name associated with this particular sukkah, because that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He doesn't want to hear blessings on something that you acquired somewhat illegally. Somewhat illegally. Yeah.
Reverend Andrews?
Yes.
There's a restaurant in the city that I used to be near, and they had a sukkah out on the sidewalk.
Correct.
They own that.
Many times. No, they own the sidewalk?
Well, it's yours, but they clean the sidewalk.
That's clean, but I don't think you own it.
I think I have the permission to put it all over Brooklyn. They have everything on
I'm not. I know. If they get a permit from the city, do you think they get a permit? Okay, but tables and chairs, you know, you don't have to, you know. Okay, it's possible. Yeah. It's possible. You know, maybe the township gives permission. Who knows? Okay, but it's a good question. It's a good question. How do these guys put up a sukkah? There are a couple of guys on West Englewood Avenue used to put up in the front. Mm-hmm. Put up a sukkah in the front, some of those stores. But it's an issue. What?
Mocha Blue. It's on the side.
Yeah, right. Mocha Blue. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
That's
right. Yeah. Who?
The doghouse.
Oh, the doghouse. Awesome. Another reason not to go to the doghouse.
So, drive by. So,
what?
Drive by. You
get. I know. You know, I don't want to get into that.
You know, the shuls put the sukkahs outside on the sidewalk. In Brooklyn, the shuls.
Really? Okay. So imagine if you get a license, a permit, then the township has granted the permission. Right. So then it's not theft. Because the township owns the property in the area.
So if you don't have permission, you can't say like shuls.
That's correct.
What about those courtyard ones where everybody really owns it? It's four buildings.
Okay, so that's also a public issue. If it's in a courtyard and it's not your own, you'd have to get permission from the landlord to. But that's correct. When we were in Westgate, I remember they used to speak to Mr. Wertheimer to allow us to put up the sukkah in his courtyard.
So technically, you have to ask before you can eat in the sukkah if they got permission or they have a permit.
Yeah, you should ask them. Because, yeah, in theory, you should. Otherwise, according till now, we're going to see a dissenting opinion in just a second. We'll see. You look for the permit sign. Now, a later commentary is called the Eliyahu Rabbah. That's on page number 5. Mr. Brewer quotes him thousands of times in Shulchan Aruch. Thousands of times. The Eliyahu Rabbah. He lived at the beginning of the 20th century. So he writes, I bracketed his comment, V'chein mashma b'loshan Rabbeinu Yerucham shekosav mitzvah be'aveira leka. Putting something on a public theory is not mitzvah b'aveira. The ein ze eleki yoshev Besukkah Sha'ula. It's you know what's the equivalent of? Borrowing a sukkah. Your intention is not to steal anything. All I want to do is use the territory, the property, for a couple of days. But I don't intend to steal. So he believed that this is a sukkah Sha'ula. Now, can you be Mekayim the Mitzvah with a sukkah Sha'ula? Of course, except according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, you must own your sukkah in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. Therefore, you can never accept an invitation to anyone on the Yontav of Sukkos, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Because you have to have absolute ownership, just as you have to have ownership of a lulav.
All 7 days?
All 7 days. Because the Torah doesn't write Chag HaSukkos Tasa Lecha Yom Rishon. Doesn't say that. He interprets the word Lecha, Chag HaSukkos Tasa Lecha, as everybody else interprets the word Lachem by Arba Minim. But by Arba Minim it says Ulekachtem Lachem by Yom HaRishon. So we need absolute ownership only the first day of Sukkot. By Sukkot.
What does he say for, maybe he said, you know, it doesn't matter for a woman, but if you've got a father and son who are living in the same household, who does it belong to?
A family that he didn't say that.
It's more for the woman.
I understand. But he didn't say that this kid has to live in his own Sukkot. Didn't say that. It didn't say that.
I mean, a son over the age of our best
friend. Okay, it's an interesting question. If the son is married, lives somewhere else, he can't come for Sukkot.
No, I'm saying.
Okay, I hear it's a good question. Never thought of it. It's an interesting question.
And what if you gave Puta?
What?
If you gave, Puta where you're
at. Okay, you can acquire partial ownership, yes, by doing that, yes. So he writes, this is only a borrowed one. Mashma, listen to his conclusion. The af le'inyin bracha ein isur kimo bishe'ula. Says the Eliyahu Rabbi in the name of the Rabbeinu Yerucham, I believe you can even make a bracha on a sukkah put in a public thoroughfare. Because are you allowed to make a bracha on a borrowed sukkah? Of course you're allowed to. We don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So I believe, just one second, that the Rabbeinu Yerucham says that a public thoroughfare is not theft. It's called borrowing. And therefore, not only can you be mekayim the mitzvah, you're obligated to make the bracha as well. Yes?
How can it be she'ula if there's no logo? Don't you have to borrow from someone?
I'm borrowing from the township. From the public. Okay, that's a question which everybody asks on this opinion. The halacha is that a sho'el shelo midaat. If you borrow without permission of the owner, you're considered a theft, a thief. A thief. So here comes the answer, I got permission from the township. I asked permission from the township and they granted me permission. Then I remove the she'ela shelo midaat. It's she'ela midaat. So maybe Mocha Blue, they rely on this Eliyahu Rabbah, something to rely on, and they ask, as long as they ask permission from the township, then it would be nothing but a borrowed sukkah. A borrowed sukkah, you can make a bracha on. That's what he says against the Magen Avraham. Yes.
So at one point, one year we were going to travel, whatever, and I was thinking of buying one of those pop-up tents for exactly the reason of, if we're like hiking somewhere.
Correct.
So this is saying that it would be useless to have that.
Interesting, yeah. It depends where you're putting it up.
So on a hike, you're going on Bear Mountain and you're thinking of bringing your own little sukkah somewhere.
Okay, does Bear Mountain own, is that owned by anybody, that property?
Is that
the state? Yeah, so you'd have to, in theory, according to all of this, you would have to get permission from the parks department. Start a new revolution here.
The state's already letting you hike. They're already letting you eat there.
Okay.
Extension.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, if you get a permit, if you have a right to walk through it, to trespass, but then you can say that about any public thoroughfare. Everybody has a right to trespass on a public thoroughfare. The issue is that I can't build something which is exclusively mine. What?
You can eat there, they give you permission to picnic.
But the question is, can you set coordinate off and say this is mine?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, they give you a right to put up tents.
Right.
And that's so evident. Yeah. So maybe that's inclusive. See, you can go to... that's all. No place else in the world except Bear Mountain.
I don't know if they give you the right to put up tents. Unless you're talking about... Campground.
Yeah, camping. I'm talking about a camping place where they put you, allow you to put up tents.
Campgrounds, and you pay for the right to put,
Correct. Correct. So here is a dissenting opinion with the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch, and he says putting up in a public forum is not considered theft. He considers it borrowing. Hence, a bracha is appropriate. Is appropriate. With the permission. The permission's there. Yes. Yes. Page number 6. In Hilchos Purim, Megillah and Purim, the Mechaber writes on the bottom of the page, Im kara b'megillah gizula yatsa. If I stole a Megillah and I read from the Megillah, I am yotzei the mitzvah. Can anybody here make an analogy, which the Rashba did? I wrote down Chuvas HaRashba because that's the basis of Karo, who compared it to something we did read in a Rambam about a different mitzvah. Excellent! We read the Rambam who said, if you steal a shofar, you yayotzei the mitzvah. Why? Ein bikol din gezel. You can't steal sound. So what does the Rashba say? You can't steal reading. Can't steal reading. The mitzvah is to read the same way as the mitzvah of shofar is to blow, is to hear the sound. You can't steal the reading of the Megillah. Somebody's reading. All I do is hear it. That you can't steal.
Hence,
what?
Some wise have to be kosher.
Because that's the shofar also has to be kosher.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The item has to be kosher. Okay. Now look at the comment of the Ramah. Look at the comment, the next comment of the Ramah. Ve'im mivarchim aleha, if you should recite the bracha of Al-Mikra Megillah, Ayin Le'el, Simen Tov Reish Mem Tes, Le'inyin Lulav HaPasel. Look at what I wrote, what? Concerning Lulav. What did the Ramah say? The lulav, where you it would not be mitzvah babavera, the Ramah said, you don't make a bracha. On the stolen lulav, for which there is no mitzvah babavera. How is there no mitzvah babavera? Because I trimmed the leaves. So when I stole it, I trimmed the leaves, that is a shinui ma'aseh. Let's get used to the terminology. And that means I own it. That's not lulav, that's not mitzvah b'avera. And yet the Ramah said,
no bracha.
No bracha. Says the Ramah, the same thing over here. Look at that, and you'll see my opinion. I don't want to bother telling you again. Look it up, don't be lazy. And you'll see, my opinion is you don't make a bracha. The Eliyahu Rabbah would say, of course you make a bracha. Because it's not mitzvah b'avera. And therefore you would make a bracha. I'm not 100% sure, but certainly the Ramah says, you don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha. Now, a further dissenting opinion is offered by another latter-day commentary, the Pri Chadash commentary on Shulchan Aruch, page number 7. Yes. Correct. Correct. Now, Rambam, when he ruled that you are mekayim the mitzvah of shofar with a stolen shofar because you can't steal sound, mm-hmm. Rambam did not deal with the issue about whether you make a bracha or not. He never did. But based on tonight, what would you say? What would you say? What would you say, Judy? No. Don't. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not injured. Bottom line, did you steal the shofar? You did. So here is going to be a debate between somebody who says we cannot always compare all the cases. There's going to be a difference between a lulav and a shofar. Let's see, I bracketed the Pri Chadash. Kosav Moharikash. Not sure who he is. The Chihechi de Amrinan. Lekaman besimin tof reish memtes. Just as I say in Simen reish memtes. Tabelulav hagazel. in relationship to a stolen lulav, afilu kun'o b'shinui, even if I acquired it with any type of shinui, shinui masa, shinui Hashem, shinui rishus, lo yivarech olav. Vehu hadin hacha. The Maharik Kash says the same thing is true about a shofar hagazon, even though Rambam didn't say a thing. I, Maharik Kash, quoted by the Pri Chodesh, says, I can't see a difference between a stolen lulav and a stolen shofar. And that if I own a stolen shofar, I cannot make a bracha. Just as if I own a stolen lulav, I can't make a bracha. I can't make a bracha.
I can see there's one difference.
Let me hear the difference.
Because with a lulav, you're doing it for yourself. But the minute that you do a shofar, you're going to... It's a sound that everybody will hear.
Okay, that's...
Somebody could hear it inadvertently.
So
you're making
now, you need... You're on the right track. But don't fall off the cliff now. You're on the right track.
Tell me what might be the difference between the way the Rambam explains stealing a shofar versus stealing a lulav. What conceptually is the difference? It's a very sharp difference, which he's going to say. What's conceptually the difference? I'll guide you.
One last year to year.
So, but I'm talking...
One is for yourself and one is for...
It's the actual... It's you're using the actual lulav, whereas with the shofar, it's...
So just now... So now say it one step further. Yes.
The word lachem is important with lulav. Right? You have to lachem, but with shofar, you don't have that.
But it's stolen. That's the problem. It's not borrowed. No one is dealing that you can't.
It's
you have to own it.
The shofar. That's the mitzvah. Not the
shofar. I understand, so, but
public.
You need one more drop. Here it is. Listen carefully. By the stolen lulav, which you own because you trimmed the branches, did the act of theft take place?
Yes.
Of course it did. Did the act of theft take place in the fulfillment of the mitzvah of shofar?
No.
Why did the act of theft not take place? Because the mitzvah is not to blow. It's to hear the sound. So in the item with which the mitzvah is being fulfilled, there is no thievery. Therefore, he says, there you can make a bracha. Even though the item is stolen, but the item with which you are mikayeing the mitzvah is not subject to theft. Because you can't steal sound.
You're making like an arm lift.
But by lulav, what is the item with which we are fulfilling the mitzvah? The lulav. And the lulav can be stolen. Hence, even though I legally own it, and I will not apply mitzvah haba b'aveira, nonetheless, I am not going to, I'm going to disqualify you from making a bracha. Because the item with which the mitzvah is being performed was stolen. By shofar, the item with which we are fulfilling the mitzvah has not been stolen. The shofar has been stolen, but you don't fulfill the mitzvah with the shofar. That is correct. We know that. But it's not the kiyum hamitzvah, as the Rambam writes. You don't have to touch the shofar. You don't have to pick it up. All you have to do is hear the sound. You can blow into it without putting your lips to it, without picking it up. If you can produce the sound, you are yotzei the mitzvah. What?
That would be true of Megillah too, because it's the sound.
Correct, because it's the reading, and I just got to hear the text. Correct, that's what his point is. So that's a very hair-splitting difference, which all Lomdus is all about. That's what people sitting in the Beis Medrash for 20 hours a day, coming up with these hair-splitting differences. Yes?
So, is it okay to Kore, who knows the entire Megillah by heart, does he have to read it from Megillah?
Yes, he does. Of course. Because the mitzvah is to read it b'ksav. That's the mitzvah. And if he reads it by heart, up to 50% he can do it bal peh. But it's 51%, you're not yotzei the mitzvah if he reads it by heart. We paskin that we do always. It's a good question. If you need the text, it's the same question about the shofar. I can't, that's what you just asked. How can you be yotzei mitzvah shofar just by hearing? You need the shofar to produce the sound. That's the problem with this line of thinking. And that's why there are many authorities who disagree with Mr. Rambam. And they said, yeah, the mitzvah might be to hear the sound, but you need a shofar to produce the sound. And if you steal it, it is still mitzvah haba b'aveira. Many disagree with the Rambam. Many. It's just the Rambam is very famous because of this statement, ein bikol din gezel. That's a famous Rambam. When you go Grand Essex, tomorrow the guy's going to ask you online, you know what that Rambam is? You'll tell him right away. Yes.
We have the concept of Yunibadat, so you can steal something that's not a physical object, right? So if I went up to you and held a gun to your head and said, blow the shofar now, so I'm forcing you to blow unwillingly under threat of death, can I say that that sound was stolen?
No. I didn't steal anything. I forced you to do something. That's not called stealing. No. I want to at least close with page number 8, which some claim is the basis of the entire discussion of tonight. Should I or should I not make a bracha on this type of an issue? This Rambam and Ravid has nothing to do with mitzvah haba b'aveira, but it's related. Says the Rambam, kol ha'ochel davar ha'asur, anybody who eats something which is prohibited, bein bizadon, whether he does it deliberately, bein bishgaga, or even if he did it not deliberately, Eino mivarech alav, lo bitchila, v'lo basof. So if I steal a loaf of bread, right, I go into Butterflake and I stole a roll, I should not say hamotzi lechem in aretz, and not say birchat hamazon. That's Rambam's opinion. Ketzad, harei she'ochal tevel shedivreyem. Somebody ate tevel, that's trumot umasro, a grain from which trumot and masrot have not been taken, which is only in a case where it's only midrabanan, says the Rambam, shel divreyem. Okay, I don't want to get into all the other cases because they're not really related. So he writes in the middle of line number 2, eino mivarech. The ain't sorich lomar imochal nevelot o trefot o shasa yayin nesa. Certainly, I don't have to tell you that if you violate an isa de oraisa by eating nevelo or trefo or wine that was poured la voidazara yayin nesa, that of course you don't make a bracha, not at the beginning, not at the end.
And that means that if you did make a bracha, that would be two things that you are doing wrong.
Correct. Correct. You ate something wrong and you made a bracha. You will mazkir shem shamayim lebatala. Says the Ravid, in the middle, look at the Ravid line, where it says Hasagas Ravid. Look in the middle, it says Kasav HaRavid Zal, Omar Avraham, his name was Rabbi Avraham ben David, Omar Avraham says, Ta'a bazeh ta'ut gidola. Rambam made a big mistake based on what he just said. Big mistake. Shelo amru she'ein mevarchin, elo she'ein mezamnin aleihem. He said the Rambam misread a Mishnah in Masechet Brachot. The Mishnah says in the seventh perek of Maseches Brachot, that if you eat something for which you're not allowed to eat, you can't make a zimun. You can't make a zimun. But the Mishnah didn't actually say you can't make a bracha. Did not say that. And the Rambam extracted from that Mishnah that you can't make a bracha. Many claim that the Rambam is the source of today's discussion. Even though, if I eat something that is nevela, am I getting pleasure from it? Yes. Of course I'm getting pleasure. So should I acknowledge the Lord who created this piece of meat that happens to be nevela? In theory, I should. Because I'm getting hana'ah. But what does the Rambam say? You can be getting hana'ah from today till tomorrow, but God doesn't want to hear from you now. That's what the Rambam says. And the Ravid said, Mr. Rambam, you're wrong. You make every bracha when you eat something that is prohibited. So many say that the Ravid is the basis of everything we learn tonight, that even though you don't violate, it's not mitzvah b'aveira, but if you did something wrong, even though it's not mitzvah b'aveira, you make a bracha. Of course you make a bracha. Because God said you make a bracha. The Rabbanan said you make a bracha when you're doing mitzvah. And if it doesn't reach the level of what? Mitzvah b'aveira, do you get credit for the mitzvah? Yes! Therefore, Ravid says you make the bracha. And Rambam would say, it's ludicrous. How can you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're eating something that He told you not to do? Similarly, even though halachically it may not be mitzvah haba'a ba'aveira, since you were involved in theft, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to hear from you, and you don't say l'shmo akol shoifa, you don't say al mitzvahs lulav, you don't say l'shei basuka, nothing under those circumstances. We'll stop here tonight, and we'll begin a new topic next Tavach. It's an interesting question. There are a lot of people who are upset with these guys who say, I need daf yomi, I need this. You know, I know. Oh, yeah. No, the mikveh event is next Wednesday. Yeah. No, I should.